By the way, you're listening to KCMD Portland. You're right, this coffee tastes all chocolatey.
Yours still does?
Well, we just finished the one pot.
Is it a new kind of coffee?
Well, I don't know. I thought it came out of the same bag.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing more disconcerting than when you... Did you ever get that mental disconnect when you're expecting something to taste like something, like one thing and it tastes like something else, and your brain can't? It's like when that Crystal Pepsi came in the market, and it's like you were expecting it just to taste like Pepsi, and then it tasted like some weird... Yeah, that's what this... Because we go through, to no one's surprise, multiple pots of coffee on the show. We have just two huge thermoses out here. And I just finished one and started the other. But I made the coffee, so I know it came right out of those pre-sealed bags. My only guess is that somebody was brewing some flavored crap in there earlier and they didn't completely finish it or they didn't wash it out. Oh, thanks for that. All right. Jerks. All right, so it's 503-733-2970. By the way, we got this email from Rob, who's offering, he said, I have connections. If you'd like to tour a sewage treatment facility, I can help you with this. Let me know if you would like a field trip of a sewage treatment plant. I will get you the hookup. So there you go. We'll do that sometime in the next whatever. All right, it's 2:00. We got Likas at 3:00. World famous Phil Hendry show coming up at 7:00. We got the Peter Carlin, I think, coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got to talk to him, make sure that that's going to happen. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us if you like at rick@rickemerson.com. We'll try to get to this top five today. Top five most divisive musical acts of all time. And people have asked what that means. When I say divisive musical acts, you know what I'm talking about. It's musical acts that cause fist fights, that everybody disagrees on, that no two people, musical acts where there is no middle of the road. There is no middle ground. There is only black and white. It is a binary proposition. One either likes a certain band, certain musical artist, or one detests a certain musical artist. So we're going to count on the top five most divisive musical acts of all time. We'll get to that. By the way, that is a top five that we posted in advance at our MySpace account. We didn't post the top five, but we posted what it was going to be. We got your input. This is largely made up of responses that we got at my MySpace page. So it's Rick at myspace.com/RickEmerson. We now have like 15 different MySpace pages, don't we? We have myspace.com/RickEmerson/TheRickEmersonShow/SarahXDillon.
Just Sarah Dillon.
We now have one. We have the station house one, which is myspace.com/AM970. And then we have two new domains. We have 970.AM, and we have solidstateradio.AM. So it's all very confusing. But the point is, if you go to the Rick Emerson MySpace page, you saw this top five posted a couple days ago. So there's more motivation for you to do that. All right. So before we do anything else, though, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior at the city desk. It's Tim Riley.
From high atop the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat Tim Riley reporting. A hitchhiker has apparently been shot by his own campfire. 22-year-old Eric Carter stopped along Highway 26 near Rhododendron, started a campfire, and something exploded in the pit. He believes that a bullet ignited in the fire and struck him in the lower leg. He was treated for a non-life-threatening injury. Then this comes to us from Beeville, which is the county seat of Bee County, Texas. They have launched a boycott of ExxonMobil over the company's huge profits and high gasoline prices. County Judge Jimmy Martinez explains the reason for the boycott.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that me?
That's you, yeah.
Okay. Jimmy Martinez says...
Well, they seem to be the ones that are making the most profit. They seem to be the ones that are leading the country now and showing those exorbitant profits on their board.
You a beautiful American woman. Give me a kiss.
Apparently ExxonMobil can afford to lower its price at the pump.
They seem to be the one that have enough money to take care of some of their retirees up to a point of $400 mm-hmm. million.
And yeah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at long last...
Oh, wait, no, is this what I'm talking... Okay, yes. Now, let me just say this about that. This is a watch that we haven't done for a long time. Many people, if you are a new convert to the Rick Emerson Show, if you have not listened to this program in the past, or as my grandmother would say, if you have not listened to this program in the past, if you're told about it by a friend, maybe you were here listening when it was a comedy station, you were looking for Tom Likas one day, you're listening to Jim Cramer's Real Money, you found this program instead, you may not have heard this before. This may come as a shock. It may stun you. It may shock, amaze, and appall you. But after now a prolonged 18-month absence, we now are proud to introduce on this Tuesday a Rick Emerson Tanya watch.
This comes to us from Medford, Massachusetts. At long last, it's Tanya and Nancy, the opera. Yes, the scandal that turned the once dainty sport of figure skating into a soap opera of whacking, wailing, and time spent in jail now has two performances scheduled. The production portrays the skaters not as rivals, but as a pair, singing for the audience's sympathy as the Tawdry Affair unwinds.
In the future, everything will be a musical. There's that Silence of the Lambs, the musical. There's the Cannibal, the musical. There's the, what was the one I just saw the other day? There's some other thing that you wouldn't think would be. Maybe it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the musical or something. It's out there touring right now.
So, let's see here. Harding never leaves the stage during the 40-minute production, which will be performed near Harvard Square. Breaking from the made-for-TV mold, though, she will not be put on display for mockery or scorn.
Why is it not here? Why do they not have why is that not playing in Portland? It seems like a natural.
I think so. The opera is a brutal expose on Harding's home life, showing her as a victim of maternal and spousal abuse. You see her break down, perhaps contrived, as she warbles, "The lace is broke."
Oh, that was when, that's when she, that's that famous picture of her.
Mm-hmm.
With a bad photo, by the way, where she's skating around and then she does that thing and she goes and hoists up her skate in front of the judge and she's like pointing at her leg because she claims that her skate was all messed up. Yeah.
But you also see her face contort in real fear when her duet with husband Jeff Galooly twists into a wife-beating tango.
Okay.
Kerrigan also comes away tarnished. But every why me, has an answer of why her?
I detest Nancy Carey. Everybody does. I'm not saying that you like Tanya. You know what it is? Here's the thing. Tanya Harding at least has some flavor to her. She's got a character. She's got grit, spunk, style, sass, spark. Nancy Kerrigan's just got 1,000 teeth and looks like a reptile, and you wish that she'd go away somewhere. And thankfully she had. Last time I saw Nancy Kerrigan, it doesn't even look like she could close her mouth properly. It looks like Nancy Kerrigan looks like one of those things that you'd see on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom bent over a dead gazelle. You know what I mean? And she'd look up and like flare her gills up all angry at you and whatnot. Now, last time I saw her, she was playing Snow White in some Disney parade or whatever. And if you are ever, if I see you doing something on a parade for the Disney company, you're immediately on the short list of people I don't like. So, anyway.
Well, Nancy sings, "My Mom is Legally Blind." Tanya counters with, "My Mom is Legally Nuts." The casting makes the point, too. Jennifer Hazel plays both skaters' mothers, taking the same cartoonish hairbrush used to stroke Nancy's brunette locks and using it to beat Tanya Harding.
Okay. I don't understand any of this. I'm never going to see this. Who am I kidding? There you go. It's all for the... There's your Tanya watch.
Only two performances. Well, Mayor Ray Nagin of New Orleans has a new hurricane plan. Get out of town. There'll be no shelters of last resort like last time. The Super Bowl was used, the Superdome, I should say, in the convention center. But no, this time Amtrak trains will be used to evacuate people, and we're really excited about it.
That's fantastic,
mayor.
I guess.
Time for a clown watch.
Here's your clown watch for Tuesday. on the Rick Emerson Show. The woman, by the way, Dawn Taylor, who's the woman from the Tribune, she's going to be doing a piece on the show we interviewed last week.
Okay.
She's terrified of clowns. I've had more people respond to this who pull me aside, who maybe didn't, we didn't hear the show before, they weren't familiar with us, the first time they started listening. And they are, because here's the thing, is that everybody who's afraid of clowns thinks they're alone. Everybody who you wouldn't even know, there's actually, it's got its own name. It's coulrophobia, and nobody would know that because everybody, it is a secret shame, those who are afraid of clowns. They all think they're the only one. They all live in an isolated bubble of the clown stuff. Whatever. Here's your clown story.
An evil, perverted clown who abused young children has been found dead in his prison cell. Ronald Blackmore, better known as the children's entertainer Bozo the Clown, was found slumped in his cell at Wymont Prison near Preston, wherever that is. The prison staff tried to bring him back, but the 64-year-old is pronounced dead at the scene.
Again, that horn sound effect. Because, you know, can't you picture them doing the CPR on the clown? It's all just,
Well, the children's entertainer was placed in prison under an order in September 2004.
That's funny!
Banning him from contact with anyone under the age of 16. It is, isn't it? Bozo was the first graduate of Britain's College of Clowns, but in 2002 he was convicted of four offenses of indecently assaulting an 11-year-old girl. After grooming the girl, he molested her. Oh, I don't want to read that.
After grooming the girl. Yeah. This is grooming, and that's not like giving her hair a thousand strokes. That's like, let me buy you a pony and be your pal. Yeah, that's creepy.
And separate incident, he was spotted in a park feeding ducks with children. He later wormed his way into the family home of two young girls by pretending he was homeless. The College of Clowns declines comment on this story.
Jesus. I think we can assume that part. It's funny, see, because he's on his back, and they're trying to revive him, and it's just a whole lot of...
Oh, I understand now.
Fine. You know, in France, they'd think I was a genius.
Sure they would.
There's your clown watch.
I'm just going to leave it up for
you. Right. Wait, didn't it have the little happy ending? How much longer does this have? Oh, wait, here we go. Big finish. Done. Oh, no. And then they take it up a step. This is like those 80s songs where Bon Jovi kicks it up one, and he kicks it up like a full step at the end there.
What a segue.
Look at that segue, bitches. That's right.
It's still going.
Well, there's a lot of killing to do. Hold on. Wait, we got to hear the big instrumental finish.
That was it?
No, now it's done. I remember when we were loading these things.
Oh, we faded it out. We just got sick of it. Like, I can't hear the screaming anymore.
We had other things to do.
That's exactly the scream, by the way, that comes out of my Texas Chainsaw Massacre Todd McFarlane figure, which is why my wife made me move it to the basement. Because she would walk by in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, and suddenly you would hear a chainsaw in the darkness and a whole lot of, and she just, she couldn't handle it anymore. You can't handle the saw. Let's do one more, and then we'll do the other stuff.
Well, despite the wall-to-wall coverage of the damage of Hurricane Katrina, nearly one-third of young Americans recently polled couldn't find Louisiana on the map. Nearly half were unable to identify Mississippi.
I probably couldn't find Louisiana on a map either. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
One-third of respondents couldn't pinpoint Louisiana on the map of the... and 48% were unable to locate Mississippi.
Who cares? When are you ever going to have to... This is a stupid... You know what this is? This is like that thing where when they interview Paula, like, let's talk about Canada's Gone Wild for a second last night, which was at the Roseland.
Yes.
And they did this great thing. They had this great segment. And next time Byron's in here, when he's not busy trying to grope me in some way, we'll talk about this, where they did this great bit called the Guantanamo Grill, where they brought the Canada City Council candidates out one at a time, and they sat them on a chair under a bright light, and then they just asked them a bunch of really pointed questions. But the codicil was that, like, if they sensed that you were weaseling out, they would blow an air horn in your face and then ask the question again. And if you weaseled twice, they kicked you off the stage. It was fantastic. That was the best part of the evening. Yeah. That hands down, I would watch 3 hours of that. Because that's what everybody wants to see when you're watching some weaselly politician and they go like, President Bush, isn't it true that you're a former huge cokehead and an imbecile? And he says like, well, I believe that I'm a united. And it's like, you just want
to see. Doctors in small towns are going out of business.
Yeah, it's like you just want to see a guy go up there and just like and force him to answer the question, which is what they did last night. And they asked, like, there was this one great question where they asked that guy, they said, they're like, what, which of your contributors do you disagree with the most and why? And it was just great stuff. But this one question they asked is, they asked the guy, they said, you live in a $1 million house, but you drive a Ford Focus. Isn't the Ford Focus just a gimmick? It was a great question. But he had a really great comeback, too, which is like, you know, we got 55,000 homeless people and 4,000 children in poverty and whatever. And, you know, you're dwelling on my car, and that's why people hate the media or whatever. And he totally shoved it right back on him, which is great. Mm-hmm. What does this have to do with what we were talking about? What were we talking about?
We can't find Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we look for it?
But they always try to do these gotcha questions with the politicians. They're like, how much is a gallon of milk? Like it matters. Well, I couldn't tell you when anything cut. I'm not the one who goes to the store. I don't want to say, like, I've got a wife for that, but I'm saying the division of the duties is such that I do certain things, she goes to the store. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. I couldn't tell you how much half the crap is. Why? It doesn't matter. I couldn't tell you how much gas is. Why? Not like I'm going to stop buying it. So, it's a stupid question. This is the school education equivalent of that, where they go, half of Americans can't find Louisiana on a map. Doesn't freaking matter. Could anybody here find Louisiana map? If I showed you a map right now.
Me.
Sarah went to college. She couldn't. Tim, could you?
College dropout, yes.
I couldn't. I did. It's the thing about Americans don't even know where Kuwait is.
I just never really learned my states.
It's a stupid...
I can't find states.
It's a stupid skill. Kids?
That's because when I was a kid, there was a cartoon show and the host would play the game of the states, and if you got it wrong, he would hit you over the head with a map.
And then he'd bring in a clown to molest you. I'm sorry, you got three wrong in a row. You go to the closet with Bozo. So, my only point is, kids, and I know that we've got kids who listen. Someday I should just do a whole show where I read all the emails from the high school kids who listen to us while they should be learning. The thing is, all they're filling your head with is just crap. They're just keeping you there so you don't smash car windows and do ecstasy. That's it. High school is just a prison. High school is just there to keep you off the streets because your parents don't want to spend any more time with you. The odds are like 1 in 3 they regret having you. They can't make it. They can't shove you into the military quite yet. That's another year or so. They just don't want you running around and running with a bad crowd at bowling alleys and, you know, smashing pachinko machines or whatever it is. All of the stuff they teach you, do you remember that everybody went to school with that one a-hole kid that could name all the states in alphabetical order or could name all the state capitals? Screw that kid. That's a pointless, stupid, it's right up there with, I know, pi to the thousandth decimal place. It's just, you know, that kid no one likes.
You sound a little jealous.
I'm not saying I'm jealous, but I'm a little bit embittered, though, that praise is always lavish. What?
Tim said that was him.
Could you do that? Can you name all the states in alphabetical order? Or are you the same kid that can name all the presidents?
I can name all the presidents.
Really? Do it. Do it now.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, Hazel, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley, Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush.
That's amazing.
It was a song I learned in third grade, and I still remember it.
That's really incredible.
It really helps. Like, if someone's like, what's the 23rd president? I just sing the song in my head.
That's why Willamette Week calls her.
That's why I don't get to host anything political. I can, because of years of living with Laura, I can almost do the same thing with Mormon church prophets. LDS prophets are these we know. Joseph Smith, Lorenzo Snow, something, something, Brigham Young, da-da-da-da-da-da.
What are you talking about?
Mormon church presidents, prophets. There's a prophet song. It's tuneless.
Oh, I thought you were talking about money as in profit, like profit money.
No. Oh. No, there's a song for learning all the prophets, all the presidents of the Mormon church. And it's modern day prophets are these we know, Ezra, blah, 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 and Lorenzo Snow.
Is there a prize for that?
No, the prize is that you don't get flung into outer darkness and poked by the devil with a stick, I guess. Or whatever.
You're putting a tuple of ice cubes.
You're putting a bathtub full of worms so you won't masturbate. I'm sorry. There's a big pause. Haven't you ever read that book? The Mormon Guide to Overcoming Masturbation? It's a real book.
Stick you in a tub of worms?
I thought everybody knew.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so far afield today. Well, we might as well just do this and then we'll break. This is true, by the way. My wife grew up, was raised LDS. She will tell you this. The Mormons are really down on self-gratification. They are not with that, as the kids say. Because it's blah da blah da blah, go to hell, blah 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 blah.
You should be baking pies instead.
You should be thinking about how you're going to be obedient and subservient to your husband. Mormons are weird. Look, I don't mean to be down on them in particular, but many of my best friends are Mormon. I should just make it a point to acquire a whole bunch of friends of every ethnicity and religion so I can use that phrase accurately and truthfully. Mormons are just, they got some weird fixations. Not like, you know, Catholics don't or anything. The Mormon Church, they're really down on the, self-pleasure, on the, taking matters into your own hands, it were. They're not with that. And so there is this famous book that floated around that it is an actual document from the Mormon Church about how to overcome the sin of sexual gratification. And there's all kinds of, and it's a lot of, some of them are stupid. It's like, you can do yard work. Go chop some firewood whenever you're feeling aroused. Blah, 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 blah. You know, don't look at people wearing revealing clothing. But then, like about a third of the way through, it just becomes sheer insanity. Somebody's probably sent it to me by now. But literally, I swear to Holy God, or as the Mormons would say, I swear to Heavenly Father, that one of the items in the Mormon Guide to Overcoming the Masturbation is to, when you are feeling the sexual arousal, when you are feeling the that urge, you are supposed to imagine yourself nude in a bathtub full of worms.
All right.
I'm telling you, that's what they say.
Oh, so they don't tell you to literally get in a bathtub full of worms.
No, how would you? I don't even know how you'd do that. But
they have some kind of retreat.
No, you're supposed to picture yourself in a bathtub full of worms.
Let's pray.
Yeah.
I had some point here, which is that knowing where Louisiana is a stupid skill.
How about Mississippi?
No, it's stupid. It's pointless. Doesn't matter. Kids, they ignore that. Don't pay any attention. You just tune in, ignore whatever your teacher says. And when in doubt, go with answer C. That's usually the correct one. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back. We will count down the top five most divisive musical acts of all time. Peter Carlin will be here. We'll talk Sopranos and all that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you. Live from Portland. Rick. See, now I'm getting all of this, I'm getting all this email about the maps. Rick, this email says, here's a quick trick to finding a place on a map. Read the goddamn label. We put them there for a reason. Or just freaking Google it like a real person. Oh, this is the guy that made the Rick Emerson World Domination Map. Yeah, represent. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Rick, about that kid who can name all the presidents. This is from Kristen. Imagine going to school with people who have perfect pitch. It's true. And I realize that a lot of those people are in the audience. I realize that our audience has a great number of people. Freaking engineers can probably name pi to the 9 millionth decimal place or whatever. All I'm saying is these are all things that people can do, and that's fine. I have all kinds. I can name all 27 Kiss albums in a row. We've all got our skill. All I'm saying is we should admit that these are just sideshow. You know, look, here's the thing. If you're a kid who can name pi to the 1,000th decimal place, you are effectively that horse that can count by pawing the stage on the Benny Hill show, okay? Let's just admit that you are a sideshow act. That's all. That's all I'm saying. The world needs sideshow acts. Just making the point. Should we do the top five here, or... Yes. You know, I've
we
got...
Could.
Okay, I've actually got the Xbox files, too. Why don't we do one, then the other?
Okay, let's do the top five first.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see. Hold on. And where is it? And...
Wait, hang on.
Are we ready?
I'm trying to find it, too.
Yeah. All right, hold on. No pressure. No pressure.
Oh, that's funny. I still want it to run out, so I need to start to...
You know, the theme. All right. And then, Tim Riley, are you prepared?
I am. Yes, right. I'm steady.
Sarah Dillon, are you prepared? Audience, are you prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm going to...
Second? All right, I'm ready.
I did have this posted on our MySpace account, so people were able to see what was coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, for Tuesday, it's a top five.
Five, four, three, two, one. fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your top five for Tuesday. With more on that, here's Tim Riley, the City Desk.
In a world of difference and the vision, there are precious few things that bind us together. We're all looking for a common thread, a common tie, something that reminds us of how much we all mean to each other. This is not that list. Instead, these are the top five most divisive musical acts of all time, with honorable mention to All Rap.
Oh, sorry. All Rap.
What are you doing, Spazzy McSpazzer?
We don't know
how to be. This reminds me of eighth grade. G's up, hold down,
why you motherfucking down, tell me. Yeah. All Rap, to this day, with my mind on my money, and my money on my mind. To this day, like 27 years after it started, you still got that, you can't spell crap without rap, it's not really music, types out there.
Number five, Van Halen.
All right. Van Halen, of course, because of the big Hagar-Roth split. And I almost put Metallica on this list, by the way. They would have been sort of another honorable mention in terms of divisive musical acts. Because Metallica not only divides everybody in the metal world, Metallica divides their own fans into sort of a before and after. Same thing. Listen to this lyric. Only time will tell if we stand the test of time. That's some Dylan-esque lyric crafting right there. That really is, if you close your eyes, it's just like you're by Walden Pond. Jesus. Worst replacement singer ever. And I know that Kristen's out there getting her panties in a wad about it, but that's just going to have to be okay. That's why they're divisive musical acts. Oh, sounds like a beer commercial. To think that Van Halen ain't talking about love and the cradle will rock. Everybody wants some. Panama. The atomic punk. That it would become this. Et tu, Van Halen. Et tu. It's the worst. So terrible. I remember hearing this. I remember when this came out, this 5150 album. It's like when Kiss put out that disco record and Dynasty, just, you, people were weeping. Killing themselves in the streets. Such a huge, dramatic fall-off for a band. All right. Top five most divisive musical acts of all time. So Van Halen, Van Hagar is number five.
And number four, Nirvana.
And you and I both know. Listen, kids, it's the John Lennon of our generation. Can't you tell? You can tell because it's all tuneless and atonal. Ugh. Everybody knows where I stand on Nirvana, but this is the very definition of a divisive musical act. There is a line in the sand. There is a before Nirvana, there is an after Nirvana. Nirvana was a changing point, a changing of the guard. And all of those bands that Nirvana came out, they all went down like wheat before the sickle. They were all cut down where they stood by Nirvana. And so for good or bad, it's like taking a corkscrew to your fingernails. But I know that somewhere out there within the sound of my voice, there are people who like this show who would go to their grave telling you that this is one of the greatest bands of all time. I am not one of those people. They are, by definition, incredibly divisive. And more so than any of others that bands from the album. Talking about the most divisive musical acts of all time.
Number three, the White Stripes.
Molly's got a secret.
That's good drum playing.
Yeah. I'm thinking about my doorbell when you're gonna ring it. When you're gonna ring it. This is one of those things where you play this and I know somewhere Joni DeRoshi's stabbing at her ears. I'm thinking about my doorbell when you're gonna ring it. When you're gonna ring it. The White Stripes, they are the very definition. I don't know anybody that is sort of lukewarm on the White Stripes. You got like Paul, what's his name? Paul from the Dry County Crooks. And, he's, that guy, he's a White Stripes fanatic. He's hugely into those guys. But then you've got people who despise them. You've got people who hate them with everything in their bodies. And I think most of the White Stripes hatred, by the way, centers around Meg White and her drumming skills. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people like Jack White or they respect him. But everybody I know who despises the White Stripes, it all comes down to this one drum beat. It's like the wind-up monkey with a cymbal sound that they've got. That's really all they're capable of doing. Meg White doesn't have a whole lot of range in her drumming skills.
He needs to sing from the diaphragm.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people hate them because of the husband, wife, brother, sister, white, red, two people, no bass player. I mean, it's like, they are kind of everything I like. It's like gimmick upon gimmick upon gimmick upon gimmick. Talking about the top five most divisive musical acts of all time. Tim Riley.
At number two, it's Bob Marley.
Because you know what I'm talking about. You could probably walk around this office right now and find 10 or 12 cubicles. Some white guy, he's got the Rasta flag or something up and a picture of Bob Marley smoking a big joint. And he'll be glad to go on and on and on and on about what a genius he is with his one song that goes on and on and on for like 15 albums. They're probably playing this at Kink right now. Ugh. There is no middle ground on reggae. There are people who love it, and then there are all the rest of us.
See, I understand this is alternative music. When I worked on 94.7, because we'd play Bob Marley all the time.
Right.
And it was so weird, because it took some getting used to, because we'd have all these rock bands, and all of a sudden Bob Marley, who I guess is alternative, but...
How is this alternative? I don't understand,
though. I guess
it's
different than everything else that's playing, perhaps?
Maybe.
It just always felt really out of place.
They play reggae on KUFO. And granted, it's sort of Sublime type reggae, but still, it's like ska. It's just so jarring and unlike, reggae is sort of like blues in the sense that there really only is the one song that's just been done over and over and over and over and over. And not only is this music tedious and uninteresting, it's everything I hate. It's like peace and love and hippies and let's all get along and happiness and sunshine and daisies and flowers. It just makes me want to, I don't know why it is that peace and love music makes me so angry, but peace and love music just makes me want to hurt things. And speaking of which, did anybody guess what the number one most divisive musical act is? Anyone? Anyone?
Grateful
anyone?
Dead.
Yeah, there you go. Tim Riley?
Number one, The Grateful Dead.
Attention, Aaron Donnelly. Ugh.
American Beauty is a good album.
America, well, see, because, and Working Man's Dead, the first couple Grateful Dead records when they were actually, writing songs, where they sort of started and they played the song over. But then they just entered this, it's like that whole, you gotta see them live thing, and as they knew that that's where their bread was buttered, as time went on, and as the Dead themselves did more drugs, and as their audience became more and more just a bunch of stoned out, brainless, no job having hippies, who just wanted something to like freak out to for 25 minutes while they were reading their fabulous furry Freak Brothers comics. The Dead figured out that that's where the money was. And I'm not going to fault them for that. The Grateful Dead were a money minting machine and still are. By pandering to idiotic morons with a roach clip in one hand and no musical taste in the other, they figured out where they could make $1 billion. And so they started playing to their base, as Karl Rove would say. And they just started doing this one thing over and over and over and over again. And, I guess it worked out really well for them. But you'll never find a band that inspires more hatred and more love than the Grateful Dead.
They don't sing very well.
No, they don't.
My cousin is a really successful pilot now, but he followed the Grateful Dead in a Volkswagen bus for 3 years.
Of course.
I remember him when I was younger. He just smelled a lot.
First couple Dead albums, though, I gotta say, are pretty good. American Beauty's a good record. Working Man's Dead is a good record. They have the occasional good song. Friend of the Devil, that's a good song. So there you go.
Box of Rain.
Yeah, they've got a couple songs that I don't hate. All right, there you go. There's the top five most divisive musical acts of all time, right here on the Rick Emerson Show. There's your top five.
That was informative.
It was. We've seen that the Rick Emerson Show, we're all about,
That's the second top five we've gotten to since we've been back on the air.
It's true, and we used to do it every single day. I don't know what it is. Have you noticed that we're just so much busier?
Well, it's because we've had 11 months of,
thinking
of things.
It's a busier world.
Things
that's all there is.
Piling up. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Is this somebody I should talk? Is this Peter Carlin?
No, he has some sex education tapes or something.
Peter does?
We need Scotty J.
This is Peter Carlin. I have some sex education.
Send me to call Peter Carlin.
Well, we have one break left. Is that it?
Yeah. Should we take it now?
Yeah, I'm... but I got to get this call. Okay, now I want to know, for the record, we got to the top five. We did it, baby. We got to it. It's done. It's checked off the list.
Yes, but you can't rest on your laurels.
No. No, I cannot. We still got the Xbox files. If I have to push it to tomorrow, I will.
You can. It's good, but...
I'm not being jerky.
It's not as good as the Booby Doctor.
It's not as good... It's funny, though.
It's funny, but well, I'm sorry. I have to say, that's hard to top.
The Booby Doctor, baby, he comes along once in a lifetime.
I know. So I think we could wait for that one.
Booby Doctor, that's like trying to top Blood on the Tracks. It's just that you can't. It's not everything can be that.
If somebody doesn't know what we're talking about, we must be having the weirdest conversation to them.
Yes, it's true. This show often does sound like it's just sort of gibberish. Yeah. Like it's just random words strung together. Mm. Okay. Well, let me take this call.
Yep. And then you can take a break.
Break, then Peter Carlin all the way to the top?
Sure.
Yeah,
and look at that.
About something else.
All right.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Bon Jovi. Not in studio. Tomorrow we'll be talking about Bon Jovi. Yes. Listen to this. You'll never hear a more Rick Emerson show exchange than this. Tomorrow we'll be talking about Bon Jovi, but in studio, Charles Ross doing his one-man Star Wars. So that's tomorrow. Also, we're going to talk to a guy who stalked Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. That interview will probably suck, by the way. Just warning you in advance. We should do like an over-under tomorrow on whether that sucks. Hold on. Yeah, interview over-under. It's one of those interviews I said yes to before really thinking it through. And those phone interviews with people we've never interviewed before are always really bad. Like, what was that chick from PC Gamer magazine where she's talking about how to turn your girl into a gamer? The interview was terrible. She sounded like she might be interesting, but it's like they come on and they're just on autopilot because they don't know what kind of radio show it is. And so those interviews are always dry and dull.
As long as on C-SPAN.
Yeah, really. So tomorrow I have some interview with a guy who stalked Brad Pitt. And maybe it'll be good. It probably won't. Sorry, are we interrupting your text messaging over there?
You have seen, I haven't even touched my phone.
Well, let's see who it's from.
Oh. Mm. Nobody.
Uh-huh. Nate?
Okay. Yeah. No.
Okay. Oh, I see. This is a private text message?
Sure.
Okay. So we've got that coming tomorrow. But in studio, Charles Ross, who's going to be performing his one-man Star Wars at the Newmark. So there you go. Let's take this call. Hi. Jesus. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Wait, hello. Who's this?
Hey, it's Robert. Just thought I'd throw it at you. You should be glad that your wife only got to be talked about sitting in a bathtub full of worms. For stopping herself from pleasuring herself and all that.
I have no idea. Okay. Why?
Well, I guess it's time for a commercial break.
You.
Okay.
Okay.
No idea what we're doing. All right, there you go. That's Robert. Talk about phrases that don't make anybody any sense to somebody who just tuned in. Wife, bathtub full of worms, self-pleasure. That was just like some Admiral Stockdale crap. Who am I? Gridlock! Jesus, God.
All right.
I am the Eggman! Okay. Let's take a break, kids. Peter Carlin coming up next. A little Motorhead for you. Back on the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio after this. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day's final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. Coming up tomorrow, Charles Ross in studio for One Man Star Wars. Also some guy who stalked Brad Pitt, and that's not going to go so well, probably. We'll also talk about John Bon Jovi. Coming up at 3, Lycus, Phil Hendry at 7, etc. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show with a heart full of hate and a head full of creamy nougat. It's Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm okay.
You don't sound okay.
No, I think this is his good mood voice today.
Is this happy, Peter?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. What do you want me to do? I'm turning cartwheels. You just can't see.
Okay. By the way, we're talking Sopranos. Did you see this? Artie Bucco, the guy who, John Ventimiglia, who plays Artie Bucco, just got arrested.
Yeah, you know, he's friends with friends of mine, and so I've been hearing,
stuff about him.
But is he friends with friends of ours?
He, you could say that.
Really?
You need something done? You need somebody leaned on?
I got a guy in Armenia I need taken care of.
Is that right?
No.
I could make that happen.
Excellent. Yeah, drunken driving.
It's scary how adamant he is about this.
That, remember that time that Kim Morgan was saying that? She, like, had connections in prison because, like, her dad had done time or something?
I got no connections in prison.
Drunken driving, cocaine possession in Brooklyn.
Yeah, in Park Slope at the corner of Lincoln Place and 7th Avenue.
Good times. Carrying a small plastic bag with the residue of a white powder believed to be cocaine.
Right outside Ozzy's coffee shop.
Slurred speech, had red watery eyes, and reeked of alcohol. Good times.
He's got some issues.
Yeah, well, that's like him and that kid who plays AJ and like that Paulie Walnuts guy like killed a dude years ago and... It's all very crazy.
Well, hey, yeah, and then the guy that plays Muscles Marinara, the big...
Right.
He got busted this weekend.
Oh, really? For what? The Vin Diesel-looking guy?
Yeah.
What did he get busted for?
Robbery.
Oh, that's great. What was he robbing?
His landlord's place.
Oh, there you go.
So it could have been like a security deposit beef.
Yeah, this is the best show ever. Not this show here, but I mean the Sopranos. Hey, so I finally saw the Sopranos. So all I got to... Because I felt that the... 2 weeks ago when Christopher went out to L.A. with the movie deal, I thought that was kind of a filler episode. Not bad, but, I mean, just sort of a placeholder. Last night, though, back in fine form. Last night is one of the best episodes of that show I've seen in a long time.
You thought so?
Or Sunday. Yeah, the Johnny Cakes episode.
Johnny Cakes.
First of all, I don't even know what a Johnny Cake is, but I kind of want one now, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of imagine. You know, have you ever been to Byways, the place, that restaurant in Northwest?
No, I have not.
They have these corn pancakes.
No.
They're really good blue corn.
Really? Byways. I'm right
there. I gotta go there. It used to be called the Shakers.
I want a Johnny Cake. If somebody knows what a Johnny Cake is, email that to me.
I think it's like a corn pancakey thing.
I want some.
I don't know.
Are
you sure you just don't want the guy that makes
it? I was going to say, and then I want to make out with the biker guy behind the counter.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of humor there.
Sorry, what? I just came up with a Halloween costume for you and Byron.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Byron could be Vito. It'd be great.
That's your inside voice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Moving on. No, it's a great episode because Vito is still... I've been thinking about this a lot. You know why that Vito stuff is so poignant? Because Vito, who is, I guess, not in the closet anymore. He's out. He's in New Hampshire, and he's sort of living in this town, and he's been... He hooked up with the diner guy, and then... They had a fight because Vito couldn't admit that he's gay, and then they finally hooked up at the end, and there was that shot of them. All the stuff that handled incorrectly would be so terrible.
Yeah.
Like them in a grassy field, like making out, and handled wrongly would just be so ridiculous. But they have such a fine touch on that show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, that Vito thing is one of the it's one of the most touching but saddest story arcs I think I've ever seen, because you know it's just going to end so badly.
Hard to know. Could be, possibly. But what about the all-gay firemen up in...
That was pretty great. There's like six gay firemen, around the table,
Big burly guys.
You know, and that thing where Vito's at the counter and he's like, you know, sometimes you tell a lie so long you don't know who you can trust, and the guy holds his hand, and then later they're out going to... And it plays to two things. A, everybody's just sort of, you know, whatever, the fear of opening up to people, whatever. And B, I think that show taps into, which has been done so many times, from old Twilight Zone episodes to other TV shows to movies like Doc Hollywood and whatever and Leap of Faith. Everybody has in their head Lara and I call it the mythical place, the mythical, perfect picture book, little small town. And like the guy says it at one point, he's like, thanks for writing your book in our little town. Everybody wants to live in that Stars Hollow town on the Gilmore Girls. Everybody wants to live in Rosalind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to live in the quirky, small Mayberry town where everybody knows everybody and the guy at the diner makes your special food because he knows you. And that's what makes that thing so touching, but it's so horrible because you know that it's all going to end in, like, blood, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you know something I don't about this?
No, I don't know anything. I'm just sort of running it through. Though some clown sent me an email today. I get these emails that I automatically throw away every week that are like, this week's odds on American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you got to bet on everything.
Right.
And now
they
want to bet on, like, who's going to get whacked on The Sopranos next.
It's
like there's a line on it.
I don't know anything, so I'm not spoiling anything. But that Vito thing... Well, Josh Whedon, who did Buffy the Vampire Slayer, had this great phrase, because this show is just so dark sometimes, where he said, I don't give the audience what they want, I give them what they need.
Mm.
And that meant just, like, everybody dies at the end. That was code for, like, everything goes wrong. And I think that Vito thing it's so happy, and he's having such a good time, and it's so kind of beautiful in its way that I think it's just got to go south at the end. It's just, it's got to. I just have a bad feeling about it.
And Tony is definitely, his transformation is kicked up another notch.
With the woman with, and that's Juliana Margulies, is that how you pronounce
true.
It?
True, yeah.
Boy, she's gorgeous. And, yeah, so Tony is getting it on with her, and at the last minute he thinks of Carmella, and he
can't do it,
which is a first for him.
Then he resents Carmella afterwards.
That was the masterstroke.
Yeah.
Is not just that whole sequence where Carmella is dressing him, and then he's with the woman, and he thinks of Carmella, and he can't do it. But the masterstroke was then he goes home, and let's be honest.
Hit that is at her.
Let's be honest. That is, and people who've been in a relationship know, when you speak openly, we're all adults. People who are in relationships, you know that frustration sometimes where whatever, whether it's somebody else or whether it's a career opportunity or going off to, you know, the play guitar for Slayer, you know, that
or
thing.
Or the Johnny Cakes guy.
Or the Johnny Cakes. The thing that you can't do because of prior commitments, obligations, relationship. And it's like you turn the anger on the relationship partner. And everybody's done that.
Sure.
And that was when Tony went home and freaked out about the smoked ham or turkey or whatever.
The smoked turkey. Your guy expects a little smoked turkey at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was so good. That show is just so full of just touches and texture that the other shows just can't even, I mean. And
then, close to, can't
and,
touch.
Yeah, and then AJ passing out in the bathroom.
With his panic attack.
Panic attack, which, you know, the thing about AJ is I've hated that kid for so long, the character.
At least he got a haircut.
Yeah, and he's lost some weight, actually.
Well, you know what? He was looking a little beefier here last season. I swear he was like a rail. Because remember how chunky he was
totally.
Back to the first couple, three seasons.
And, you know, but to their credit, they have totally followed that character growth.
Yeah.
To where it is now the logical end of the road for that kid, where he is just. Because Tony has said since season one, AJ is not cut out for this life. He would never last. He's too soft. And you're now seeing that, where AJ is falling into the crime, the drugs, the women, the attempted murder.
Yeah.
He's never going to last. You know he's
the
not going
to
last.
Where he goes in to try to knock off Uncle Junior, and he's got the knife, and it falls out of his shirt or whatever.
Oh, my
lands
God.
Between his legs.
Yeah.
And it was like, I read somewhere, somebody thought it was sort of came up with a much more sort of Freudian symbol, which was it just seemed kind of like his phallus had dropped off.
Totally, yeah, where he is, where he goes in and he's got the knife and he's going to go junior and he drops the knife and it really is. It's where his, because AJ's whole thing is trying to step up like a man. And because he's so emasculated all the time because of Tony. That's the weirdness about AJ is that all of his power comes from the fact that he is Tony Soprano's kid, but so does all of his emasculation, because like three or four times in that episode, he thinks somebody is talking to him about wanting him to do something, but it's really like, can you give this to your dad?
Yes, exactly.
Can you have your dad do something for me?
Yeah. So, but you know, but then when Tony is yelling at him after he picks him up out of prison or jail from where he got popped in there from, or maybe right. back at the home where he nearly tried to whack.
No, it's outside of the police station because
right. And he said something like, you're a nice guy, for Christ's sakes, and that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And it's like, you know, who's he talking to? In a sense, he's almost talking to himself.
Absolutely. And then AJ, you know, and we've already established that the panic attacks are, you know, it's like this thing that's being handed down father to son, whatever. So, I mean, it's, how many episodes are left in this sort of half of the season? Do we know?
Four.
I mean, and it's just killing me. To know that once it's done, it's going to be till January. And then, of course, in January, it's going to be just the hugest thing ever because it's going to be the end of the series, presumably.
Yeah.
Any word? I mean, is it, do you think it's going to be the actual, they're not going to convince him to hold out again and do any more?
I kind of, well, you know, I mean, that's the intel that I have. I don't have anything beyond what's already been established.
All right. Well,
that makes, actually, I hate to say it, it makes perfect sense to me.
Well, I know that's fine. I mean, I'd rather see the show go out on top.
Except I want then for there to be like a serious sort of dramedy that stars Vito in that small town with the gay fireman.
So everybody loves Vito.
Yes. Naming Vito.
Vito and, you know.
Vito and Johnny.
Vito and Johnny. Hey, that's a great idea. You could probably pitch that to the WB right now or whatever, the WC.
CW.
Whatever, yeah, the CW.
They would never do it. They would need to, you know, it's be, I still see it on HBO.
Yeah, be like Archie's Place kind of a thing, but without the suck. without the terrible, this show.
That's something now you're trying to make get away before anyone notices what you just said.
No, well, no. I mean the fact that the show sucked.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm talking. Don't be crude, Peter.
Me?
This is no place for blue humor.
I never go blue. I never said suck. You did. Just now. Right in close proximity to that other thing. You may not know it, but you're filled with hate.
You know, and probably calling it blue humor is wrong, too.
Blue. Don't work blue.
I see, and there's just... never mind. Now let's move on. Hey, let me ask you a completely off-the-subject question.
Okay.
What do you know about Veronica Mars?
The show. It's on one of those networks.
I got a friend that runs a video store, and her whole thing, she just badgers us repeatedly that we got to watch Veronica Mars.
Yeah, I got into an argument with a guy... another TV guy in L.A. or in January who proposed that Lost stinks, and he had a very profane way of saying that, whereas Veronica Mars is clearly the best show on TV.
Which I've never seen, and I heard it's kind of a Buffy...
Well, I've seen two episodes of it. I think it's perfectly nice and fine and everything, but it doesn't turn me on. I mean, I think it's a nice show, it's a good show, but it's not a great show.
Perfectly nice and fine aren't really terms to set my toes a-tapping.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe if you're 17 or 18 or 17 or 18 at heart, it might really appeal to you.
Or a girl.
Yeah, a goyle.
It is pretty much a girl show, isn't it?
Well, a lot of guys dig it, but
yeah,
what can I say?
Well, what are you going to do?
She's all adorable and cute, but it just sort of like, you know, eh.
And when does that CW thing happen? Has it already happened now?
No. It's not. It's just going to, they're actually going to do their transformation in the fall.
All right. So is there anything good coming up this week that I should be setting on my TiVo?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
Not that you don't already have.
All right. And sadly, and I hate to end this on a down, but you had actually primed us for this. But
yeah.
As I've said, so now the release of your book, Catch a Wave of the Rise, Fall, and Redemption of Beach Boys, Brian Wilson.
Next month.
Is it
June,
next?
We're looking at June.
Amazon says September.
Well, Amazon doesn't know what it's talking about.
Screw Amazon.
Amazon did that thing and then it sent out like little e-cards to every person that ordered it saying, okay, hey, guess what? It's not going to come out till September, so maybe you should buy something else instead.
Oh, I see. They're dead to me.
But, well, yeah.
Let's have them whacked. Let's have your friends take care of them.
I'll get have
him go take care of Jeff Bezos for us.
There you go.
All right. Well,
yeah, no. June, baby, June.
June. Okay, we will be the pimping. I'm going to work up to full warp pimp speed.
Sweet. I'm
right.
Loving it.
Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian online at OregonLive.com. We'll talk to you next Monday, my friend.
Okey-dokey.
All right, there you go. There's Peter Carlin. All right. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Charles Rossby in the studio. He's not the Roger the Vampire Slayer. He's not the Roger Rabbit guy. That's Charles Fleischer. Somebody set me straight on that. He's also a sweat hog, I think. Not Charles Ross. Whatever. Charles Ross will be here, One Man Star Wars. We're also going to interview some guy about stalking Brangelina. That won't be a very good interview, though. I'm telling you right now.
I think that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Why, have you talked to the guy?
No, I'm just no good at those things. I try to be good and then
I'll help you.
Okay, yeah. You should pretend that you're me. Or you can feed me the questions.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll also find out if Nate's going to move in with Kyle tomorrow. Xbox Files, and we'll talk about Bon Jovi tomorrow. We want to thank Gary Baumgartner from CNN Radio, Jim Roop from CNN Radio, the Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and pirate-like Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Like us at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. As always, we'll see you in 21 hours. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. See you all tomorrow. Bye, kids.
Right across his posterior.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.